The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Legalistic people are a drag. Don't be a drag. Also, some people need healing, but some people don't want it. Well, what's that all about? And then, does loving people require us never to say anything about their sin?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. As you can tell, my voice has got a little crack in it. Just a little bit of allergies. Everybody relax. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. How much more, Dave? Just a lot. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's two cans and a string. That's right. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I'm just going to say by way of intro, sponsorship-wise and intro, in the studio with me, Johnny Hill.
Well, we're moving on up, to the sun, to the deluxe apartments in the sky.
That's right. We don't spare any expense here. We spend as much money as we can't. To do whatever we can.
We can only play it for 30 seconds and you have to pay.
I know. You got to pay a royalty. It's like, that's not happening.
It's true.
I'm not paying a royalty amount for a small little bit.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Not happening. So everything we do is under 15 seconds. Anyway, they are reachable. menofgodmoving.com. Also, Facebook, Men of God Moving. So you can do it that way. That way you can go to our website, hemustincrease.org. We have a link there as well. Bottom line is Johnny's in the house. We also have Angel. Angel's his son in the house. Angel, how you doing today?
I'm good.
Okay. You know, you go. When do you go back to school?
Sunday.
Okay. Yay! I don't know if that was for you, for Johnny, or
it was for
him.
Johnny.
Oh, okay. I will say, that reminds me of that commercial, one of my favorite commercials, the Staples commercial. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Where the guys, you know,
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Most wonderful time of the year. And then he's got the little cart that's full of stuff for his kids.
Greatness.
That's just classic. Anyhow, welcome to the show. Always good to have you as a part of the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Really great. We got all of our filings done for the IRS. Ooh.
Proud of you, brother.
Yeah, so there's a lot of work to get done, and personally, I'm just glad it's done. The one thing I dislike about all that kind of stuff where you're filing it, we're changed to a nonprofit, everything is, if you hit one button wrong, one button, somebody knocks at your door and they go, it's the Secret Service. And then all of a sudden they're examining whether or not your kitchen is clean or something. It's really kind of weird. One of those kind of strange things. So, Johnny and I have been talking. We have this real passion. We have a desire to have 2 hours a day. Hours a day is what we're growing to. So that's what we're trying to do.
Maybe you can teach Johnny to run the board.
What are you trying to say? You're done at three? Is that what you're
trying
to say?
I'm done at three. Okay. I get to work early.
You know, you have been such a great part of the show. That'll be so funny if you're doing 2 to 3 and somebody else does like 3 to 4 or something like that. That'd be hilarious. Anyhow, with all that going on, I just want to say, if you have anything that's going on in your life, you need prayer. Let's say you're just like, you know what? We really really need people praying. We have that form that's on the website, hemustincrease.org. You can fill that out. We have people praying across the country. Okay, that's a kind of a good thing. And I just want to encourage you to participate in that, because we want people to be doing well. Our biggest goal is to love and to encourage the body of Christ. So that's our biggest, even though we're schnooky about it from time to time.
We're on a mission from God.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know when that movie came out? I went to go see that movie, and that night, I remember it because I got violently sick. I got the first stomach flu when I wasn't living at home.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Thank you for sharing.
Is that too much information?
A little too much.
All right.
You suck the life right out of it.
Yeah, I know. All right. So here's the deal. So you reach out, and we will do our best to pray for you. I do want to share something with you. So yesterday, and I shared this with Johnny earlier today, as well as with Angel. So yesterday I was talking to my daughter, and we've been talking about little Easton Scott, who's been in the hospital for, goodness gracious, 70 days, or seems like forever and a day. And so I'm listening to them, and I'm listening to my daughter and her husband while they're on the phone with me. We're doing the FaceTime, the duo, and they were laughing with one another, talking about eating a brownie. He was eating a brownie he wasn't supposed to eat. And she's like, if you eat another bite of that brownie, I'm going on the internet and buying stuff. And so he has another bite, and you can hear the conversation. And then she goes, oh, that's it. Oh, two bites. Oh, now I'm going on twice. And why I bring that up is because in the midst of some of the hardest things and the worst things that take place in life, you would be amazed how the lining of grace fills the moment. And when they were laughing with one another in the hospital with the baby while it's all going on, it gave me this sense as a grandpa, as a father, as somebody who hates seeing stuff like this, of like there's hope here, or there's a plan, or there's life here. Because sometimes you get so bogged down, it's like, do you ever feel like that? We were going to do this thing on this other thing. We'll do that in a second. But do you ever feel like it's so bogged down and it's like getting hit in the face with a snowball, one after another, after another, after another. Do you ever feel like just those moments that break through make all the difference?
Every day it falls into that area of surrendering. When we surrender to God, we're able to see God's hand, and we're able to step back and just see the miraculous hand of God move something in the kingdom of heaven, which is what you saw when you watched
it. Yeah, it's amazing. You wouldn't think that a laugh would do that, would trigger all that. But man, I told Noelle, I said, it makes me feel like there's something here. There's a plan here. There's life here. There's something going on. And they're doing really good and, you know, dealing with all of the ridiculousness. But they're moving forward in life, even in the midst of the worst circumstance I could imagine.
And they weren't even aware that you were
right
aware.
Yeah. They're often not aware when they're talking to me on the phone. So I'm not sure that's all that different.
Right.
They're talking on the phone and they're in another planet or something. So, but yeah, I just thought it was kind of an amazing thing. In fact, that was our first teaching that we were going to get into. Maybe we should just do that now, and then I'll do the history later. So I do have a pretty good history, but we'll get to that in a second. So in John chapter 5, verse 5 through 6, it says this: one man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he'd already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, at first you would think that's kind of a weird question. Do you want to get well? But it's not that weird, because some people get so comfortable in their sickness, illness, whatever, they don't want to get anything different. And then, quite frankly, some people like the attention that they get when they're in a suffering. And that's why the big thing is victimization, is like, I'm a victim. Like, okay. Does that mean you never want to not be a victim, or what does that mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I see it all the time. In the ministry, in the moving ministry, we definitely see it every day.
What do you think when somebody's stuck in a place like that? What is it they need?
Well, it's frustrating, first of all. But you have to understand that God is working and that the seeds are being planted. So I may plant a seed, or you may plant a seed, but it's God that brings the increase. So we have to be patient. we may not see the benefits of the work that we put in just yet with that person. They may not be ready to even receive the blessing yet, but the seed is still planted.
Do you think that sometimes, though, people, after they've been in something for a while, they give up and they just like, okay, I'm not, you know, nothing's ever changing or whatever. I mean, do you think there's a resistance?
I see every part of the gamut. Some people that it's not a matter of giving up. They never tried in the first place. I see those that have given up, and I see those that, you know, it's just not the time yet. The timing isn't there. It's not the season for them to receive that healing. But the one that really bothers me the most are the people that never really tried in the first place.
That's a really good point. You illustrated a couple of different people there. There's some people are comfortable. Some people are patient and wanting for it to change. And some people just are like, you know, they make a martyr position out of their difficulty.
Absolutely.
And that's like that. That's the red is the one that's kind of.
It's disturbing.
It is. It's a little irritating.
It becomes a business. It becomes a business.
You know, I wanted to bring this up because I mentioned this to Johnny before. He doesn't know who this is, and neither does Wonder Julie, and neither does Angel, nor do, huh?
We looked it up.
Okay. You looked it up? You guys are terrible. Isaac Air Freight was a comedy Christian group, and why this is funny is because they did a bit called Jerusalem Dragnet, and they used to go dum 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 dum, and the police in Jerusalem, this guy would come in and goes, "I'd like to file a complaint," and the guy's like, "Well, what's the problem?" And he goes, "This guy Jesus healed me."
Wow.
Like, I was like, "Well, what's the problem?" He goes, "Well, I can't make a living anymore because I was making a living being a beggar." And now that he's healed me, I can't do that anymore. And it's like, it was hilarious, but it makes a great point.
Wow.
And that is, some people get so comfortable, and then even if Jesus healed them, they're complaining because now they don't have the same way to do the income.
Absolutely. I see that every day.
That is a classic. See, some people, I think you're right, that they are patient and they're willing to fight. And even if it's just a centimeter. Even if it's just an inch, even if it's just a little bit, just trying to believe and trying to believe. But if you're in a place where you are not willing to move forward, that's why the Lord said, well, is anything you want it to improve? Do you want to get well? Are you looking for anything to get better? Or do you want it to just stay the same? That's like, what a pointed question. I mean, I would admit, I think there's things in my life where just want to stay the same. I'm too tired of even fighting. I don't have any more energy to fight with this. I'm done. I don't care. And that's kind of a defeatist
mentality.
Yeah. It's like kind of giving up. And this guy was there for 38 years. And then Jesus is like, "You want to get well?" It's like, what if he just said no? Just like, but he did. He wanted to get well. He wanted to get well. And that's a big part of it. So that's it's not an unfair question to ask when you're going through something and you're praying about something, or even if you're fighting sin or whatever the case may be, or if you're fighting something that's really beat you back, whatever the case, there is an honesty moment where the Lord may say to you, "Well, are you looking to get better or not?" And I think that's a fair way to evaluate that. Say, yeah, I mean, you have to make that statement. I want to get better, or I want to do better, or I want to be better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back more. We got a lot of stuff going on. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that, too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
On Christ the solid rock, I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Livinginhisgrip.com is where you can get some of our music that we do on the intros for free. No cost for there. If you want to, you're always welcome to call the show 972-445-0770 and say howdy. I do have a trivia follow-up to yesterday, so we didn't get our answer. So I should probably bring this up real quickly. And that was, what was Jesus' response to the first temptation listed in Matthew when he went to the wilderness for temptation? What was his response to Satan on the first temptation that's listed in Matthew? If you know that answer, call 972-445-0770. I'll get it together eventually at some point here. website, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. The app is now called He Must Increase Ministry. You getting the theme? The theme is He Must Increase. There is nothing wrong and everything right with all of us functioning there at a regular basis. Let's give a little acknowledgement to our next sponsor. It's Clint, who I did have a chance to talk to today. Clint needs prayer, by the way, because he's got some eye things going on, so you need to be praying for him. And Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, smoke cleanup, wind cleanup, flood cleanup. You know, you got a lot of weather going on there today, and a lot of people are going to end up with houses and rooms that are like disaster. I think it's disaster, but I just said disaster. I don't know why. And we encourage you to get in touch with Mr. Restore, MrRestore.com. Mr. M-R, Restore. .com. They do free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB. They work with all insurance companies, and they have thousands of happy customers. We want you to give them a call, 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. If you have any cleanup needs whatsoever, don't forget they're closely connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation. This is a foundation that works with people that have severed limbs, 1, 2, 3, or 4. You just got to think, 4 severed limbs. And these people are helping those people find a drive and a passion for life. Like, there you go. That's called class. We like that.
Amen, brother.
Mr. Restore is closely connected to them. We encourage you to go to MrRestore.com. You can also connect directly through our website as well. I did not get to do this, so I have to do this. It's a disease, Johnny. It's not much I guess. For those that don't know, I have to share what the holidays are. I don't know. I just think it's important. I don't know. Wonder Julie's like, finish the show, Dave. Finish the show. Today is, for those that do not know, National Nothing Day. National Nothing Day is an event which celebrates doing nothing, like this show. Doing nothing. See, that's us. Also, it is National Fig Newton Day. Come on. I mean, you can't tell me you don't like Fig Newtons.
Love them.
Ooey gooey, rich and chewy inside. I know the whole song. Tender, flaky, golden, cakey outside.
You go, girl. Don't do 30 seconds, though. That's what I'm asking. Did you like Fig Newtons? Did you like them growing up, Fig Newtons?
Not really, but I like that commercial. Because he's the big Fig Newton.
Wait, yay. Hold on. Golf play. Excellent job. You never know what you're getting on our show.
It's your fault.
That is my fault. That is my fault. That is pretty funny. Good job on that one. Fig Newton Day. So you have permission to eat Fig Newtons. This is the only day where there's no actual calories attached to Fig Newtons.
Actually, they're pretty healthy.
Are they really pretty healthy?
Yep. All right.
There you go. On this day in 1965, for those of us who are a little stranger, Outer Limits was on the television.
You know,
that was just like weird. But then 1995, Star Trek Voyager, something that some Star Trek fans not that happy about. I happen to like Voyager. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't have a problem with it. And here's the most fascinating thing. I'm going to tell you something you've never heard of before, perhaps. 1909, on this day, the magnetic South Pole is found. On this day in 1909. Now you're thinking, what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. There is actually a North Pole and a South Pole. But there is not an East Pole or a West Pole. And God says, somebody is calling it. God says, I will remove your sin as far as the East is from the West. And there is no specific pole or point on the East or the West. Bazinga. Come on. That was a good one right there.
That was
People
good.
Are like, okay, that's good. Oh, that's good, Dave. Give me that one. See, there's no East, no West. Okay. All right. Somebody calling in on the trivia question? I think so. Hi, this is Dave. Would you like pepperoni with that pizza? Oh, no.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's Bobby.
All right, Bobby, talk to me. Make sure your radio's turned down on your side so it doesn't echo back over here. Talk to me about the first thing that Jesus said under that first temptation. What did he say to Satan?
He said to Satan, let me see, if he be the Son of God, command these stones to turn to bread. And Jesus said, it was written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word is seed out of the mouth of God.
That is correct, sir. Correct. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, telling us that the spiritual food, which is even more important than bread, because that's spiritual food, bread for our body, through Jesus Christ. Excellent answer, Bobby. Good job on that one. Very, very good. Well stated, well done. You did a great job on that, my brother.
Likewise, my brother, just...
All right.
You know, teaching. I see you building up your ministry, so that's great.
All right. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it so much. We love you in the Lord,
right,
man. All right. God bless you. Okay. Bobby doing a fantastic job nailing that down. Good work. So I want to say this. This is actually a perfect time. You're going to segue in, and you might have a chance on the story. You might not, kind of 50-50, because our time is limited, because I've ruined all our time, because I'm stupid. But people will listen to the show, and we'll do truths, and you'll hear me. I'll teach tomorrow. I'm doing the expository teaching, expository Thursday on Friday, which is kind of normal for us. And then we have truths and different things that we try to teach. But we also enjoy each other's company, enjoy each other's fellowship. And so there's some people that listen to the radio, and they get really I don't want to say offended, but they get offended. And the problem with that is that they get a little legalistic. So for those that don't understand that God is into or enjoys laughter, you should just check out what God told Abraham to name his son. He named his son Isaac, which means laughter. The promised child's name meant laughter. Want to hear something really unbelievable? In Genesis 21, it is Sarah who says, God is creating or making people laugh because of what he's done in my life. Laughing is a merry heart makes like medicine, and God created laughter. Now, some laughter, crude, sinful, I get it. But having a good time, man, all the stuff that's going on in your life and in the world, do yourself a favor. And relax. Smile. Listen to this passage, John 5, 9 and 10. Now, it was the Sabbath day that this man was healed. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, this is the Sabbath. It's illegal for you to pick up your bedroll and walk. Hey, here's a really stupid question. Who rained on this guy's parade that he has to be so depressed that somebody gets healed and he's mad because it didn't follow the normal custom? Who cares? And so my response is sometimes we can be a kind of a killjoy type of person. Do you know what I'm talking about by that?
Yes.
Have definitely. You met people like that?
Absolutely.
what does it make you think when you meet people like that?
It's sort of sad. I mentioned earlier to you about a story that I witnessed while I was working. And the short of it was is there were an elderly couple at a retirement home, and they saw one of our guys who didn't really fit the stereotypical look of someone working at a retirement home or being in that environment. And so they judged him. They judged him harshly. And he was very kind and very loving to them, and they rejected him and didn't receive it. In the end, the elderly gentleman fell. He fell on his face and could have been killed, could have died. And that one guy that they rejected was the one person that was there for them, and he picked them up and he ministered to them.
That's amazing. Did they change their mind then about
boy,
him?
Boy, did they change their mind. Wow. To see the conviction.
Yeah, wow. See, sometimes it's just like, and Johnny and I have talked about this, so we talk about theology, something that some people don't know, but we'll meet and we'll talk about different things, different elements of life. And so we've talked about different ministries, and it's not like every ministry, you as the listener, you're not going to agree with every ministry, every single thing that's said out of every single ministry. That's fine. But if somebody is ministering to you and they share things and it's creating a benefit for you and you're drawing closer into the Lord because of it, or you're getting more knowledge because of it, then that's what you want. That's the key. The only person you're going to agree with 100% is you, and that's only you about 30 seconds ago, because you 2 years ago, you don't even agree with. And
good
you
point.
2 years from now, you won't agree with that person.
Good point.
And so the reason that we bring up that legalism is because sometimes legalism can really cut a person off at the knees in the sense of not allowing them to enjoy. And this is like, I think, a little bit where you get into the prodigal brother. Not the prodigal father, not the prodigal son, but the prodigal brother who was all just bent out of shape. Because his brother came back and they had a party. And he's like, well, I'm not going to enjoy this. I'm going to have me an attitude. And then because of that attitude, he couldn't enjoy anything. It's like, wow, that's dumb. I think that's what you'd say that. You'd say that's not the way to be. So I deal with people a lot all across the denominational spectrum. They're different. And I don't agree with every point, but we agree on the majors. We might disagree on the minors, and we might get muddy in some of the other stuff. But they're my brother or my sister in the Lord. I love them.
Amen.
And that's my family. And you're my family. You're my family. And it's all part of it. We're blood relatives. One way or another. You better get used to that. All right, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. Then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Sometimes things go according to plan, sometimes not so much. The Lord will always help His kids, but He does want us to use the wisdom He gave us as well. Insurance solutions are a great key for using preventative wisdom. If things do go in a tougher direction, insurance can be used to fill in the gap. There's biblical evidence for preparing for the future. King David did this for Solomon and the Temple. Stephanie Vasquez has joined forces with New York Life Insurance Company to help provide insurance needs to fill in the gap. Stephanie hopes you never have to use the insurance she brings to you for life solutions. But if you do, it's good to know there's someone there who can help. Stephanie Vasquez will help you fill in the gaps. Call her today at 214-499-5378 or go to LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. That's LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Stephanie Vasquez, New York Life Insurance, and you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been, organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip, and in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone, I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone, the question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's right, where we don't have anybody representing us in football right now. So we were talking about the Super Bowl the other day. I was talking, and my daughter, it's just a little disappointing because they're from Tennessee, and then my son-in-law is from Green Bay. So they got 2 out of 4 going. So they're pretty happy. If you want to reach us, 972-445-0770, you're welcome to call and say howdy. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Gives you an idea of a lot of stuff that's going on. Let's give a shout out to Stephanie Vasquez.
If you got a problem, don't care what it is.
So Stephanie can help you if you're somebody who's trying to put together and formulate, hey, I'm trying to figure out not just my foundation for savings, but to develop life insurance, have kind of a begin that process of a nest egg. She's a person that you can talk to that should be glad to talk to you, give you the best input she can give you. We just had some engagement with her because we had a commercial going and we had one thing in there that New York Life Insurance Company said, you can't say that. So we took it out because that's what we do. And but she's, you know what? She's a great blessing. And if you're looking for somebody just to talk to bounce things off of and get an idea of how she may be able to help you lay some foundation, life insurance, different financial planning elements, get in touch with her. You can do that by going directly to our website, clicking on the link. Or you can go to LinkedIn and type in Stephanie Vasquez, NYL, which stands for New York Life. And so I think we'll have her on in the next 2 weeks. She'll be back on. Great people, her and her husband and their family. We just really appreciate them. Okay? All right. Let's see. There was something I was going to tell you. Now I can't remember what it is. Well, it can't be that important or I wouldn't have forgot it. Oh, I remember. I'm radioactive. Shake. Anyway, those that know that joke, you just dated yourself. Let's talk. We were just talking about, you know, getting along with one another. And, you know, I'm a big promoter of spiritual unity. I just think it's important to understand. And maybe that's because how the Lord brought me in. I would imagine that's part of it. But having a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, a charismatic ordination, having three different educational elements, all from different backgrounds and denominations, I think helps me look at it and go, well, we are the body of Christ. And I'm not telling anybody where to fellowship. I don't think I've ever done that. Other than if you're at a place that doesn't believe in the Bible, then you're not at a church. Okay, that's not complex. But you find the place, you fellowship, become a part of a body, and whatever we can do here to encourage, to love, and to strengthen the church, we're for it. Along those lines. Poor Angelus is here. Just listen to some of this. I'm going to give you a chance to talk in this segment, so I want you to get ready. So along those lines, here's something that comes from James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. There's a theory or a philosophy in college, and this is where you're going to come into play. It's like this, let's all, you know, get along, let's all coexist, you know, peace, love, and flower power, and let's everybody wear, you know, sandals and be hippies and say peace and wear tie-dyes. When you go to college, because you're in college, Angel, what's the prevailing spirit or attitude in a college? Is it get along, or is it be like us and accept us, except if you're like conservative? What goes on at like college life?
Well, to be honest, it depends on the college. So
good point. Okay.
It also depends on the region and like the demographics of the school. But for my college particularly, they try to focus on like everyone getting along and being accepting, but they don't have, they don't mention like Christ at those core values. So it's not, they're not coming at you in like a Christ-like way. It's more of like, they're trying to promote an accepting society.
Okay. In that acceptance society, are you allowed to be a Christian in that framework, or is there more of a negative against that because some people see that as you're distinguishing and you're judging others because you're a Christian kind of attitude? Or is it more, nope, Christians are fine, everybody's fine as long as we all get along and just get to class and do our work?
Honestly, a lot of the people there are open to Christianity because the people there, even though like some of them may not be Christians, they're like smart enough to understand like its principles, in that if you hold someone accountable for being sinful, it's not coming from judgment, it's coming from love. And I've heard that from quite a few of like my neighbors in my dorm, and they're actually like, they don't believe in God at all, but they at least understand that.
That's a really fascinating insight. So some people in the college get that there should be a challenge to some of the open wildness freeness, because some of that open wildness freeness really does create damage, and that it hurts people. So they're open, or they're not anti-Christian, but they're not Christian per se. It's kind of like somewhere in between all that.
Yeah, exactly. And that I think that's where a lot of people, so especially like younger people, that's where a lot of them stand. A lot of them just kind of float.
And that puts them in a position to be ultimately opened to hearing the gospel.
What about people that go to the college that have the gospel? Are they restrained? Or, I mean, I know it's almost like they're secret missionaries in the sense that they're on the campus or they're with people, but maybe, you know, it seems like the way that the press represents everything, and the way that you hear things in society, it's like Christians aren't even allowed to speak, which I would find that hard to believe that that's true. But it does seem like, you know, basic Christian values seem to be under attack on almost all institutional levels. Is that true?
This one's a little different. Would you say, Angel? This school is a little different.
And why? Is it more of a Christian-oriented, Christian liberal arts kind of mentality, or is it just different?
It's just different.
It's an entrepreneurial school.
Oh, okay, so it's more of a business school.
It's a business school, and they're teaching you values that will lead to success. And Jesus is at the core of that. And these are some of the brightest people in the world, some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world, the Bill Gates, the Ross Perots, and they understand. They understand that the principles of the Bible are effective.
That's interesting. So is one of the things that they teach in the framework of the school is that money is a tool versus a trophy? And by that I mean it's a tool, something to be used and utilized versus something to hold up and go, look at me, I'm rich kind of like mentality. Do they teach that kind of mindset at the school where it's more of a tool?
Yeah, definitely. It depends on what class you're taking, because not all the students that go there want to be entrepreneurs. They just want to get like jobs in finance or something. And in that case, like if you're taking a finance class from a professor that worked in finance and he didn't really do that many investments, he just kind of put all his money into a 401k and got like a good retirement plan going, then they don't really teach, like a person like that wouldn't really teach that money is a tool, but it's still kind of there. But in more entrepreneurial classes, they definitely teach that.
Wow. I'm just asking Johnny now because I just don't know. And so I'm asking folks just straight out because I'm curious. Did you help him pick that school or did he pick that school on his own? I mean, just
neither. Neither. divine intervention.
Okay.
Divine intervention.
Does that mean the school picked him?
No. Angel pursued engineering for the majority of the time that he was in junior high school, even in elementary school. And at the last part of his senior year, God threw this monkey wrench into the program. And so we went to to one of the orientations, and we sat in a room with a bunch of Christian people that were alumni. And these were the founder of At Home, the former CEO of Ford Motor Company. These were Christians, and we weren't aware of it. And we were sitting there ministering to them, and they were likewise ministering to us, and we found out what this school was about.
Wow.
And that was the deciding factor. That was one of the deciding factors.
All right, so I'm going to ask a question you guys can only answer as honestly as you want to, but Angel, did you decide, yes, this is a direction I want to go, or was this kind of a family decision, or how did you decide?
The answer came straight from God, like, to be fully honest. Like, I didn't know what to do, and because I had a choice between pursuing engineering at Carnegie Mellon and pursuing business and entrepreneurship at Babson, and I was like completely 50-50. And, you know, I prayed about it, and I was asking for an answer, and my answer came at that orientation.
Wow. That's a cool story. I did not know that about you. That's really cool. Really. You got to be proud as a dad.
I am. I really am. We have been extremely blessed.
Yeah, that's just awesome. I think stuff like that's fantastic. I'm glad that the Lord stepped in. People have different directions. Some people have ministry, business, this, that, whatever. And so I'm glad he did that. Just make sure that whatever you do, Jesus is at the core. That's all you got to remember. Yeah, Jesus is not at the wheel. He's the engine.
Okay. Amen, bro.
He was beyond the wheel. Okay, sorry. Just having fun there. All right, we're going to take a short break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Morris, are you there with us?
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that. It was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh, and
then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station, where I spilled my coffee on my intro sheet because I am coordinated. If you want to, you can call the show 972-445-0770. Say howdy. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. I want to talk to you about a passage in Joshua. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5 says this: only be careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and keep his commandments, and hold fast to him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's just a simple passage in Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, but there are six things that come out of this short little passage that are very, very powerful. First thing that Joshua says, he says this. He says, to love the Lord your God. To love the Lord, the first of the two great commandments. Yes, I know they teach in some of the churches, oh, they're the exact same. No, they're not. Jesus knew the difference between one and two, and he called one first and one second. Okay, this is where we use logic. And the first one is only the only way that you can fulfill the second one, and that is you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and that enables you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't do one without the other. Which is why the first three commandments of the Ten Commandments are all about your devotion to the Lord. The fourth commandment, it has to do with your benefit. You're not resting on the Sabbath for God's benefit. And then the final six have to do with your engagement with fellow man. So three for God, one for you, six for everybody else. That's the Ten Commandments. Or the two commandments in summation, which also include God, yourself, and your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. See how that all works together? Kind of makes sense when you do it that way. So you love the Lord your God first and walk in his ways. All right? Now watch this. The best way to know what his ways are in that general format is to look at the life of Jesus. He's the exact representation. Now, that word, the radiance word or the exact representation, that word comes from a Greek word that has to do with a mirror. And so it's like somebody holding up a mirror to God, and what's in the reflection? That's Jesus. There you go. Jesus is that reflection. So we're, okay, I want to know how God is. I'll just look at the life of Jesus, and then I'll know what his ways are, what how to do that, how to approach that. Does that mean you're going to do everything perfect? No. If you did everything perfect, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But nobody does everything perfect. So we are having these conversations. That's how it goes. Then he says, keep his commandments, which to me speaks additionally of just taking heed to the word. And Johnny, that's one of the things I want to talk to you about, because our time is limited. But I think people will hear the commandments, but they don't heed or take heed or kind of like respond to it. They go, oh, yeah, that's good. And then they just keep going. Have you ever, kind of feel like you do that, or have you ever known people to do that?
Well, again, I always take this back to the moving company, because we work with a lot of young men on the cruise, and I get to bounce things off of those guys. So I give them a hard time every day, and I'm preaching to them every day. But they're a good example. They're young. You know, some of them are a little farther along than others, but they always listen. They always lend an ear. But they usually never heed the warning. And it's frustrating sometimes, but you hope at some point that they do, because it's useless to listen and not and not learn from it.
You know, it's like watching a sign on the traffic road and people not paying attention. Two lanes merge into one.
Right.
Usually not paying attention. Like, well, why is this guy right next to me? Okay. See that sign back there that says two lanes merge into one? That was your, if you heeded that, you'd have known that. You wouldn't. Okay. Sorry. So you got love the Lord your God. You got walk in his ways, keep his commandments. And then he says this. He says, keep his commandments and hold fast to him. This is the part where I this is my favorite part in scripture and in all of these things that we talk about, is this holding fast part. It reminds me of Jacob going, yeah, I'm not letting go till I'm blessed. And it's like he just wrestles and wrestles. It's like, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. And you just hold on to the Lord. You don't let go. No matter what happens, you don't let go. And I know things get weird. I get it. But just think about it. Here's Jacob, and he's wrestling with this angel, and he's hanging on, and he's just not going to let go. He's not going to, not till you bless me, not till you bless me, not till you bless me. I mean, what an attitude of a kind of like a righteous stubbornness, which is like, that's where stubborn is good, when you're doing it in your diligent faith with the Lord, right?
A quick example. We did a job the other day, and the weather got really bad, and the sirens were going off, and tornado warnings, and people were jumping out of windows, and birds were falling from the sky.
Okay.
But I thought about Jesus, and I thought about Jesus on that ship, on that boat, and telling that storm to be still. And so it was a little nerve-wracking, but Angel and I got together and we started praying. And before I realized it, we were screaming. We were yelling. I mean, we had to hold fast to the word of God. And I was confident, 100% confident, that that storm would subside. And the hail started to come down and the wind started to pick up. And we were still telling that storm to be still. And at some point, that brief little bit of disbelief just entered my mind. But I said, no, I have to command that storm to do what Jesus did. And we're going to get through this. And those guys were watching us. My guys were watching. And, of course, they did the opposite. But as soon as we finished praying, that storm subsided. And we were able to follow through with the job. So holding fast is very important, especially in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all hell breaking loose. We have to hold on to Christ. We have to hold on to his word.
That's a great example. I'll tell you, there's a preacher that preached a whole sermon on junkyard dogs.
I like it.
And his whole premise was, junkyard dogs are the meanest dogs in the world, but you know when they're the meanest is when they're the weakest. Just before they lose all their tenacity, it's the sharpest, meanest, most ferocious moments that they have, but it's only because they're running out of gas. It's like, wow. That's a great example. Wow. It's kind of like, you know, it's coming against you. Kevin Jones, like, it's the loudest and the worst just because it's about to go bye-bye. Mm. That's got nothing left. That's really a great, and I love that, that kind of like, it's like you just got to hang in there, because at some point it stops. And
amen.
You prevail through. All right, so you got love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, hold fast, serve him. And this is a service in worshiping in the kingdom of God means you make yourself available. Does that mean that you have to wear a robe? No. Does that mean that you have to wear a bow tie and get on the stage? No. Does that mean that you can be one of those people that welcomes people that come into your fellowship? Yes.
Absolutely.
That means you can do that. You can pass out the bulletins. You can be a servant. Oh, that's such a menial, that's such a small job. Not to God. Oh, okay. Then we'll just move on to the next one. And then the last thing he says, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, which for me is be real about the whole thing. This is all your heart. Don't be phony. Don't be Ananias and Sapphira.
I'm a much better Christian than I say.
I'm probably, in reality, am much worse than I've ever even imagined myself to be. I think I'm probably worse. That's why I depend that much more on the grace of God.
Amen, brother.
Because without the grace of God, I'm in trouble. Okay? I mean, that's the reality. And being real about it, like it's, you know— I used to say this. I got to be careful. We only got a minute left. But so you go to church and somebody asks how you're doing. And nobody wants to tell other actually doing. So they always give the standard Christian answer, fine. That's the standard Christian answer. How you doing? Fine. Okay. But if you're going to ask, you should be prepared to listen. And if somebody's going to ask you and you're going to share it, you should be real. So if you're, how you doing? I'm doing lousy. Then you should be, why? What's going on? What can I pray for you in? That's how that engagement should be. It's not all social structure at church. It's supposed to be brothers and sisters working together to strengthen one another, to empower one another, so that we can get to the places the Lord wants us to get to. Does that make sense? I mean, it's not even complex. It's not that hard, is it?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Boy, if we could just keep things simple. Wow. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.